In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, these gospel readings from John during the season of Lent. They're like little novels, aren't they? I think we need a recap of what just happened, because there was a lot going on in today's reading. So Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and they come across this man begging by the side of the road who has been blind since he was born. The disciples want to know whose sin is responsible here, the man's or his parents. And Jesus says, no, nothing like that. He's blind so that God's works can be revealed, so that the light of God's glory can shine out. He says, here, watch this. So Jesus goes to him. The blind man doesn't seek him out. Remember that. Jesus goes to him and initiates this miraculous healing by making mud with his saliva and putting it on this guy's eyes, and then he tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So he does, and his sight is restored. Then the healed man comes back to his own community, and nobody is happy about his healing. Can you believe that? Everyone's upset. They say, aren't you the guy who was blind and used to sit around and beg? No, that's not the guy. It can't be. No, I'm pretty sure it is. And he's saying, no, that was me. It's me. And they want to know, how is he able to see again? He says, this man named Jesus put mud on my eyes, told me to wash up at Siloam, so I did, and now I can see. And then they want to know where Jesus is, and he doesn't know. How could he? He was still blind after he left Jesus to go wash up. This proves to be too much of a mystery, so they bring him to the Pharisees. And here we find out that it was a Sabbath day when Jesus enacted this healing miracle. So that means there's more trouble and more questions. And the healed man tells them again what happened. And now there's an argument about who Jesus is. He didn't observe the Sabbath. So that must mean that he's not from God. On the other hand, he did heal this man, so how could he be a sinner? And they ask the healed man, what do you think? And he names Jesus as a prophet. So this is not good enough. They call in the man's parents. First they say, is this really your son? Are you sure? Was he really born blind? Then how did he regain his sight? And they say, yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. No, we don't know how he was healed. If you really want to know, go talk to him again. And they say these things because they're afraid. If they proclaim Jesus as a true healer, they'll be kicked out of the synagogue. And the synagogue, in addition to being this place of prayer, is the social hub of the whole community. And if you lose that, you're effectively a pariah wherever you are. So they drag the healed man back in for another barrage of questions, and the Pharisees start this interrogation by saying, give glory to God. I think John's being a little ironic here. This man, Jesus, is clearly a sinner. And the man replies, look, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but I was blind, now I can see. And again, they want to know, how did Jesus do it? How did he do that? He says, I told you already. Why do I have to tell you again? Are you so interested that you want to be his disciples? Well, they really don't like that. They erupt in this fury. No, we're not his disciples. We're disciples of Moses, whom we know came from God. We have no idea where this guy Jesus comes from. Now, the healed man takes a stronger stance this second time than he did during the first interrogation. Remember, the first time they questioned him, he said Jesus was a prophet. This time he says, you know what, this is really amazing. You don't know where this guy comes from. You see that he healed me through the power of God, and you know that that never would have happened if he was really a sinner. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And if Jesus wasn't truly from God, it wouldn't have happened now. And they are so angry that they just cannot continue the conversation. They go back to labeling him as the chief sinner, and they kick him out of the synagogue. They kick him out of his own community. Now here is where it gets really interesting, or interesting-er, I guess, and where it loops back to the very beginning of today's gospel story. Jesus hears that the healed man has been cast out, and he finds him. I want to be absolutely clear about that. Jesus goes and finds him. The Greek word that's used for found here is huron, and it shares, actually, it's the same verb as the Greek word eureka. Does that word sound familiar to anybody? Eureka! The great scientist's exclamation, I have found it! Huron, eureka, I have found it. It's a word that shows intent and purpose and fulfillment in finding what you've been looking for. And it's not happenstance. Jesus doesn't just run across the healed man again. He looks for him and he finds him. He finds him, and the last question the man faces is from Jesus, and it's the most important one. Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus, the Son of Man? So remember the answers that the healed man has given so far about Jesus. He hedges a little bit in that first interrogation. He must be a prophet. He goes a little farther in the second interrogation. Not only is he not a sinner, he is truly from God. And now he has the chance to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. And to be fair, he's not really sure how to answer at first. He says, who is he? Because if you can tell me that, I will believe. Jesus says, I am the one that you're looking for. I am the one that you see right now in front of you. And the man believes, calls Jesus Lord, and proclaims his faith, and now his healing is truly complete. So let's go all the way back to the beginning of the gospel story, when the disciples are asking, why is this guy blind in the first place? Jesus insists that it's not because of sin, but so that God's works and God's glory can be revealed in him. He starts the process of this miraculous healing by spreading the mud on the man's eyes. But the rest of the healing is dependent on the man himself. He's got to go wash off the mud at the pool of Siloam. He has to make that choice himself. He's got to have at least enough faith to walk there and do it. Jesus doesn't lead him there. Nobody makes him go. Taking the next steps after God has done what only God can do is part of his physical healing. And healing for his whole self comes when he learns to proclaim who has enacted this miracle. At the end of today's reading, when he's able to see, really see Jesus, not just with his newly healed eyes, but with the newly healed eyes of his spirit, he recognizes the incarnate God and worships him. God initiates this whole process. None of it can be done without God. But the human beings participate by their own actions, willingly taken. A lot of the miracles in John's gospel are that way. Water into wine at Cana, the people fill up the stone jars and take them to the steward. Healing the paralytic, you, right there, you, take up your mat and walk. The feeding of the 5,000, a boy offers his own fish and bread, and then there's Lazarus, but we'll save Lazarus for next week. In any event, the message is clear. Healing events don't focus on the cause of the injury, but on the miraculous power of God and our obligation to accept healing and then to give glory to God once we have been healed. In this final and total healing of the man born blind, Jesus has given us the perfect example of what he was telling the disciples. Every opportunity for healing is an opportunity to show God's work in the world. So what does that mean for us? We are not blind, are we? Well, I promise you that God has already started the miraculous work of healing in each one of you. For example, if you're having trouble forgiving a person or forgiving a group of people, I promise you that Jesus has already begun the miraculous healing of reconciliation in you. Have you washed in the pool of Siloam? If you are blind to the needs of people around you, then I promise you that Jesus has already begun the miraculous healing of spiritual sight in you. Have you washed in the pool of Siloam? If you feel as though there's something missing, something lacking in your life, then I promise you that Jesus has already begun the miraculous healing of abundance in you. Have you washed in the pool of Siloam? And if you have taken these steps, and if you have begun to receive that healing, have you proclaimed the glory of God? Have you let the whole world around you know, by word and action, that God's works are revealed in you? Everything good in my life is because of God. Everything good about me is the work of God. Everything that I love and value is to the glory of God. Have you said these things out loud in front of other people? It can be hard to do. A lot of people don't want to hear that. It's not because of God. You're better because you went to the doctor and you took the medicine and you did these things. That's not God. You have a good life because you went to school and you got a good job and you were smart with your money. That's not God. I don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that, but they should hear it. They should hear it from you. Because once you have been healed, and once you are ready to proclaim Jesus as your healer and savior for yourself, your work as a Christian is to proclaim it to everyone. These are literally our instructions. Your healing and your faith are not private matters between you and God. Personal salvation is a crock. You can quote me on that. Go forth and make disciples, Jesus says. And we can't do that if we're not talking about how God is at work in everything good about our lives. If we're blind, and we are in so many ways, then it is so that God's work can be made so much more visible to us and to everyone. So I have a little lesson for you, a little exercise for us. Let's try something out. It's easy. This is an easy way to get started. Everybody, please say, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
That was nice. Let's do it this way. I am so glad that all of you are well enough to be here today. Okay, hold on. I didn't give you the right instructions. I'm going to say that again, but let's practice responding when somebody says something good. Thanks be to God. Let's try it again. I'm so glad that you're well enough to be here today.
Thanks be to God.
Yes. I'm so glad you're part of Christ Church.
Thanks be to God.
I'm so glad you've been healed.
Thanks be to God.
All right, this is the last one, and you're really going to love this one. My sermon is over.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Stand as we're able and say together the nice.